Hey, I'm Daniel Colburn.
And I'm Caleb Porzio.
Welcome to 20% Time, where two coworkers discuss one programming topic every Friday for less than 20 minutes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Should we start this thing?
Digga. Hey, Caleb.
Hey, Daniel.
How are you?
I am well.
Excellent. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too. You gave me the giggles right before we started recording, and I realize after listening to the show how weird my laugh sounds in a microphone. Because I think you only get, like, the exhales or something. It always sounds suppressed, but it's actually very, full of...
It's a full-bodied.
It's a belly laugh. Yeah, it's a full-bodied chuckle for sure. Yeah.
Well, you lose something in audio.
You do. That's the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one PR this week that is worth talking about.
This week in PR,
and it's by Mohammed. And
what's it got for us?
Let's see. Here we go. And it actually got pulled in 4 hours ago. So it's hot off the press. Hot off the press. All right. So, belongs to many relationships. Many to many relationships in Eloquent.
Love them.
Right? Love them. They have pivot tables, right?
Sure.
And sometimes you need to access stuff on those pivot tables.
Sure do.
And when you do, you use that syntax arrow pivot. So you access the relationship. So his example is podcasts and subscriptions. I wonder if that's influenced by Mr. Wathen.
What?
I know. It's actually I'm all for it. I think we could use a little extra spice instead of posts and comments. I think podcasts and subscriptions lends itself better to this type of thing.
And it's good for the podcasting community.
It is.
To get
really
out
is.
There as code examples.
Yep. So anyway, when instead of accessing just with pivot now, you can name that. So if you have many relationship, users have many podcasts have many users. Instead of saying user arrow podcasts arrow pivot, you could say
you can name the pivot.
You could say user arrow podcast arrow subscription. And then you could access the pivot data with that name. And the syntax is just you tag on a fluent as method when you define the relationship. So you say, the podcast relationships, this belongs to many, blah, blah, blah. And then arrow as subscription. Exactly. So that's pretty cool.
I like it.
I think it's cool. I'm sure Adam will like it.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
And, So that's it in PRs. That's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, So
I'm releasing something today.
You are releasing something today.
Let me shout it out. It's the thing that I said that I would build in a day last week, which I didn't do. Cause here's why. Let me tell you why. So I said I was going to build a way to use those JavaScript or use those Laravel named routes in JavaScript with a nice little route helper, right?
Yep.
And I said I was going to do it in a day, and I did not do it in a day. I did it in a week. The reason I did it in a week instead of doing it in a day is that I talked to too many people about it. And in talking to everyone about it, I realized how many different ways there were I could do this. And I was paralyzed. And I just didn't know which way to go. And so eventually I ended up doing a combination of them, which I think ended up being your recommendation.
Yep.
So I talked
just
to Adam.
Just purely
Adam,
coincidence.
Adam suggested that I basically make an artisan command that would generate a routes.js file with all of my compiled routes in it and the little helper function. And that would have been cool, but I was a little bit weirded out about where to put that JavaScript file and if that was going to live in the vendor directory, including a JavaScript dependency from the composer directory felt really dirty and I didn't want to deal with that. And if I was just going to insert it somewhere in my assets folder or something, that would have been a little weird, made me a little feel a little uncomfortable.
Yep.
So I'm not ruling that out. Basically, I generated everything that would go in that file. I just didn't put it in a file. Instead, I am putting it in a blade directive. So I have a blade directive called routes, or JS routes, and you can just drop that in your template wherever, in your like main layout file or in a specific layout file if you only want it in certain places. And it will basically import all of your named routes as a JavaScript object keyed by name.
Nice.
And so then I have this nice little route helper function, which if your route doesn't require any parameters, so if it's just like slash posts or something, if that was just called like post.index, then you would just say route post.index and it would give you, you know, slash posts. If your route does require parameters, you pass an optional second argument, which is an object of basically like an associative array of keys and values for all of those parameters. So if it was like, you know, slash teams slash one slash posts slash one or something, then you would have like team ID and post ID were required parameters for that route.
Right.
So I would say like teams.posts.show, and then I would pass a object that had team ID equals one, post ID equals one. And okay, that would kick it out to me.
Okay. Wait, can you say that the last one? So you have team slash ID, post slash ID, and then what is the second parameter you're passing? It's an array of two entries?
Yeah. Well, it's a JavaScript object.
It's a JavaScript object. And the first one is what?
Well, it's whatever parameters are in your route, right? So any variables that are in your route, like whether like in curly braces in your routes file.
Right. Yep.
So like say your route has like teams slash team ID,
right,
slash posts,
yep,
slash post ID.
Yep.
Then you would pass an object that had team ID and post ID in it.
Okay, the names, like by parameter name. I guess what I'm wondering is like,
look at the little screenshot I sent you.
Yeah, yesterday. I saw the screenshot and it showed me, it was just one. It said post slash ID or whatever, and then you pass through an object that was ID colon and then the ID. Okay, so the object that you pass through, I'm gonna relook at that.
And
I think
I
misinterpreted.
If you look up above that, it says URI is post slash ID.
I got it. Okay.
So all right,
so whatever you name, got it. All right, so so if I call it posts slash post, which is more likely than post slash ID, right?
Mm-hmm.
In my routes, because normally I'd be route model binding and I, you know, would do that,
that sort of thing.
Yep. So it would likely for me be, right, post. So I would have route, your helper function route, I would pass through the name, so post.show, and then I would pass through an object that says post colon and then the ID of the post. Is
correct.
That right? Okay. Gotcha.
That is right.
Okay. All right. The ID was throwing me off. I didn't look deeper. I just thought that you always had to say ID, and I was like, well, what about things that have other keys? Okay.
Nope. It is the name of the variable.
Gotcha. That makes sense. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Sweet. I think that's pretty pretty.
And I also have methods getting passed in, and I'm not doing anything with them yet, but at some point I'm going to do something with, like, because certain endpoints have, like, multiple available methods on them.
Okay.
So I'm going to do something with that at some point. I just don't know what.
Gotcha.
Also, Matt really wants me to make an optional route that you can just drop into your routes file that, like, points at a controller in my package. So that you can just hit this route and pull all of that data down.
Ooh, that's nice.
So, yeah, that's added an issue to the repo, like, immediately.
The repo's
not out yet. It'll be out today. It's called Ziggy because I didn't want to call it JS named routes or Laravel named routes in JS because I thought that was a terrible name for a package.
Yeah.
And I was like, what if it was just, like, a cool little name like Ziggy?
So sue me.
And I was like, I like Ziggy.
Yeah, so sue me.
So
I saw. I was looking at the repository and I saw the last commit and it said justify name. I'm like, oh, I got to see this.
Yeah.
Yep. So I dig it. I like it. Yeah, we had this whole conversation in Slack about, like, how do we name pack? You know, like, Spotsy names them very plainly, I guess. And there's a lot of merit to that. And then other people, you know, like Laravel, like Horizon, like, what does Horizon say about what it is? Like, almost nothing. So we were kind of talking like, where do we want to fall? And we landed somewhere like, well, we want to be clever but clear, like Mail Thief, like that's one of our packages to fake mail. So it's like, you know, I don't know. But Ziggy is just straight up, that's just...
Yeah.
That's just
got nothing to do with routes.
I dig it. I dig it. Just
but it's
come out and say
cute,
it.
You know?
I love it. I think it's awesome.
I have like a personal relationship with this package now because its name is Ziggy. You know what I don't have a personal relationship with? ES6-resource-client, which is my my previous latest package.
That is yucky. Yeah, I made a package. It's the worst name for I made like a package that's like Spark form, and I know Frake has a package similar, whatever. I called it View Form State, and I just hate looking at that every time. Like, yeah. So I'm with you. I love it. That's cool. I think you should, I'll pull request this. I think you should rename the directive to routes for JS or routes for JavaScript instead of JavaScript routes or JS routes. What do you think?
I think that's fine.
I love that for. I love like this for that. It's kind of like as much as I love from, like name constructors with from.
I'm happy to merge your pull request, Caleb. Sweet. Well, you know, I'll consider it. You know, I take a couple hours in the beginning of the day to do pull requests.
And then you could just say there's no plans on adding this at this time.
No plans to add at this
time. Why don't you just macro this? Make your own blade directive.
Yeah, you should do that.
So I'm working on a package myself.
What you working on?
I'm working on a single table inheritance package.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I started writing this blog post about single table inheritance, and I turned my little trait that I talked about into a package. And then things started to get out of hand because I was like, oh, what if I could do this and that and this and that? And I looked into single table inheritance in Rails, which it comes with out of the box. I did not know that.
Nice.
And it's crazy, and it goes super deep, and I'm going super deep. Like, I'm really digging into Eloquent, and I feel like I got some cool stuff. Like, you can...
Riding the train.
So now, like, it hooks into the query builder. So anytime you access a parent model, like if you say all on a parent model, you get the different child models. It returns to you the appropriate models for each child. Does that make sense?
Whoa.
I don't know if I put
I would expect
you...
nothing less from you, but that's very cool.
Yeah, and it actually works with get. So like anytime you're accessing just as a plain query.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but I'm running into so many issues with like...
I bet.
Like it at first it was magical. Because there's
it's magic that you could do that.
At first,
but then it's like looping through that is weird.
Right. At first I needed...
Like there's no context where looping through that is actually as useful as you would hope.
You mean there's no like use case that's as useful as I would hope?
Well, no, it's just like if you were going to like loop, like say you pass that collection into a view.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're going to have like a bunch of undefined stuff because like it's on one and it's not on the other.
Yeah. I mean, the idea is that like you could handle the sharp objects and you could use it to, you know, do polymorphic things like on your user, your parent user model, you would have like display background color or something. That's a method. And then on your admin child model, you would have the same method, but it would just return, you know, a different color, you know, instead of having like to switch in the parent model. So yeah, I don't know. Strategy pattern, I think.
Pretty cool.
Yep. So that's pretty cool, but I'm running in stuff. It's pretty fun. Strat pat. So we'll see what comes of that, but there'll at least be a blog post in the pipeline. Yep.
And a package. Definitely a package.
Definitely a package. Yeah, V1 is actually on GitHub. It's private, but but I don't know if I'm going to drop it until V2 is ready, which would just be beta. Okay, yep. What are we talking about?
Cool. All right, so my topic today is completely based in self-interest.
All right.
It goes like this. Say I have a project that I have been working on and off for the better part of a year. And say that in the last several months, there's been like a lot of like just getting it done with some relatively quick deadlines and turnarounds on some things.
Is this the to-do app?
No, this is the source post thing.
Source posts.
So anyway, the result of that is that this package is real big and is starting to be a little bit of a bear. And needs a little bit of tender love and refactoring. And just some cleanup and some refactoring.
Okay.
So, my question to you is, assuming that I only had limited amount of time to refactor and could not do all of these things, which of these things would you do first?
Okay.
All right. I have four things. Fix route grouping. The routes file is crazy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we did this whole like nested route groups thing.
Yep.
And then there was just like a lot of situations where like this one-off API endpoint that they needed for their app like broke our route groups, and so it ended up outside of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And anyway, one thing leads to another. There's like 75 routes in this file, and it's crazy.
Yep.
So that. Controller method names are a little crazy, because we just kept adding methods. Like, they would give us these like little one-off requests, like, hey, can we just have this endpoint do this?
Yep.
And it was like, oh yeah, that's real easy, it's one method on this controller, and you do that a bunch of times and you've got like 40 weird method names. So we've got some weird method names in the controllers that need some sorting out.
Mm-hmm.
So route grouping and controller methods I grouped as one task.
Okay.
There is some untested code in this code base. Not very much, and not very important code, but it makes me a little bit nervous that there's some untested, like, application business code.
Okay.
If any of it failed, it wouldn't, like, break the app.
Okay.
But it still makes me nervous.
Right.
Some of our tests have pretty fragile setup methods. Writing a few scenarios and implementing either as a base class, factory states, traits, or trying to do the model stories thing that Jeff Ocho did.
Right.
Would probably help a lot, because we have a bunch of tests that, like, there's some code duplication in our tests and stuff like that.
Okay.
And it's all kind of fragile.
Right.
So that could probably use some cleaning up. And then the last one is, some of our JavaScript components have gotten really big and could probably be broken up into smaller components.
Mm-hmm.
And have their states broken up and stuff.
Right.
So, of those four things, what would you do first?
They're good things. Because at the first one, I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to pick this first. And the next one, I was like, ooh, I don't know. I definitely wouldn't do the JavaScript components first. Personally, I guess... So, chiropractic, you know, like the original... foundational beliefs of chiropractic is that like all disease in the body stems from the spine, so like when you correct the spine it like washes away all disease, which I don't necessarily subscribe to that, but
yeah, no,
I think
sure.
It's analogous here.
True,
like I tend to look at the routes file as the spinal cord. Uh-huh. And so like if you have a health, right? Yeah, so I wrote that tweet forever ago, like it all starts with a healthy routes file. Uh-huh. But I really do believe that, because I got in a similar situation with an app that was about a year old and was just getting out of hand, and I was kind of in the same position, like where do I start? And I think I had a lot of those symptoms. I bet there's a lot of similarities. But basically, I just started with the routes file. And because like it's the kind of thing that once you start to really get it where you want it to be, and like you said, it pairs well with the controller method names and everything, then everything just kind of cascades out and it like kind of irons out some nastiness, you know?
Right.
And it forces go ahead.
This is one of my concerns about this task. Right?
The lack of testing?
No, not that.
Okay.
There is plenty of testing for all the mission critical code. I'm not worried about the mission critical code.
Okay.
The issue is that it cascades out and affects everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of like this is like a compartmentalized easy win.
Right.
Isn't
right.
There, right.
Gotcha.
So if I start with the routes file and I only have 10 hours on this.
Yep.
Like I could theoretically like be signing myself up for like 30 hours of rewriting my app.
Right. Yeah. It depends on how hairy the routes file is. I get what you're saying, but I think there's a seam that exists. I mean, there's a seam between the routes file and the controllers, and then there's a seam between the controllers and the rest of the app. I think the helpful seam is between the controllers and the rest of the app, because you could just move around stuff in your controllers to get them into resourceful names. I don't know. I think the routes and the controller refactoring could be contained to just the routes and the controllers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think as a first round, you could refactor your routes and controllers to get them exactly where you want
just
them.
Just rename method names.
Rename method names, create new controllers, move stuff around, group things the way they should be grouped, and clean everything up in the routes file. And you could do that without touching a single model or anything else. I would like to believe that.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say that's...
I think it's reasonable. Like, you definitely could do that, right? Because all the code that does it is right there in the controllers.
Right.
You just need to move it into different places.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's a great place to start. And then maybe the testing thing. But then
this is the question, right?
Yeah.
How much value is that really providing to my client?
Oh, for the routes and the controller stuff?
That's a harder sell, as I'm providing value to you, my client.
Right. Yeah. I personally I think it's a ton of value because basically you're decreasing the time the next person or
that's
future
the spine
you.
Of the app.
Yeah, it's the spine of the app. And like we talked about last time, like how people grok apps and most people just start at the routes file. I would think it should be a somewhat easy sell if you sell it like that. Like, hey, I'm making this app way more accessible and understandable, and people who come in can just work on it better. But I get that. Like, maybe the test would be a better sell. I don't know.
Tests are a better sell as far as like it's an easy place to say like we provided value. It's like, yeah, we wrote code that makes sure this code never breaks. Like, even though this code is like not as important. Like, this is less important code, and like, it's definitely not as important as the routes file being good to a programmer.
Yeah.
But to you, the person signing the checks, like, code that makes sure code never breaks sounds like a better use of my money than, like, I made a routes file pretty.
Yeah. And I'd also have to see, like, how much JavaScript stuff you have, because when you change around all this route stuff, you'll probably be changing around a lot of API endpoints. Is that right?
Maybe not. We'll see.
Okay. If you didn't, then I think it would be, I would say go that way. If you did.
Well, and we have a client too, so I could just change it in our, like, every JavaScript, every Axios call is wrapped in this client.
Okay.
So all I would need to do is change the endpoints in the client.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. That's nice.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, but even that,
it's not ES6 resource dash client. It's not like that level of badassery.
That is pretty cool.
Samantha Geitz, everybody.
That's great. I don't know. I feel like I've done this before and had just so many, like, anytime I mess with like the Ajax layer between Vue or React and the app, every time you mess with like those APIs, it's just tons of like nitty gritty little, oh, I misspelled this thing, oh, I need this thing and that and this method and this and that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that's something that if you didn't have tests, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I agree. So let's talk a little bit about the fragile setup methods for tests.
Okay.
This to me is actually bad.
Hmm.
Like the other ones are like, yeah, that happens. Like, apps get old.
Right.
And things get messy when apps get old.
Yep.
But to me, the fragile setup methods thing is, like, actually bad. Like, bad on me.
Yeah.
Because for a while, there was just a couple tests, and it was just, like, easier to just, like, set up a test every time I was setting up a test. And then before you know it, like, I have probably 40 tests where, like, I create a user and then be that user.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God. Like, this really needs to be extracted out into something. So, to me, it's like, by doing that, like, A, I decrease the amount of time in the future I'm going to have to spend fixing tests when I break them by adding new features.
Right.
Which is going to be sometimes. I also decrease the amount of sort of like mental fog and visual debt that I'm incurring with my tests, right?
Okay,
so it's like, but when I enter my test suite, like if I need to like understand how something I wrote 6 months ago works, I can go look at its test and like not be confused by all of the setup code that doesn't need to be there, that's just there because of like required things and stuff.
Yeah.
So to me, like, that visual debt is pretty serious.
Right. So here's where I'm at right now. Okay. And I could be convinced otherwise, but I'm in this phase of my programming career where I hate the setup method. I pretty much don't use it if at all possible. Like, just duplicating setup, even if it's in every single method, I duplicate it in each test method. Now, I know some of this is born out of an app that doesn't have the most insane setups, but I worked in an app that had insane setups, and so I get it. Like, you might need to do that because it would be insane otherwise, but I don't know. It's tough. And then I actually just was put on a project this past week that is pretty gnarly, and basically what they do is they run seeders at the beginning of every test. Oh, yeah, I know. So I've, like, tried to work around that, and the test that I wrote, I didn't do the seeder. I just manually set up stuff so I could understand it. So I guess what, it's just a pro con. Like, you could call it visual debt, or you could call it documentation. Like, this is how, these are the things that need to be set up a certain way to get up and running, you know? Where, sure.
But I mean, like, think about this project, right? Like, everything you know about this project, I need to create a source post, publish that source post by a team, right? Like, you can't just say, like, factory post.
Right.
You know, like, there's so many steps to getting factory post. And so if I, like, need a post to test, like, it's, like, six lines of code.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to let go of this ideal that you could just use factories and states and, you know. Even because I'm thinking, like, oh, well, you know, maybe use the factories for the high level stuff, I don't know what to call it, but the stuff that you're testing against, you know, like factory up a new post and then test that you can duplicate it or delete it, but then have a little, you know, create user with this method on the base test class that sets up, you know, all the users, profile info, filled out this and that, avatar, source, whatever, you know. But even that, I'm like, create user methods, I don't know. I'm probably the worst person to ask about this because I'm not in a state where I can think clearly. I don't know.
Nice. No, I buy it.
You buy?
I buy.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, how do you feel, like with the model stories or something like that? Like, do you think that you could achieve that? Like, you could have some way, something that just sets something up across the board and that you wouldn't need to change with flags and modifications all the time?
No.
You don't think that?
No.
Okay.
Here's what I think. Here's what I think about this. I think this one is the least likely for me to get to a place where I feel great about it. And so it's going to require a lot of work for me to get to a place where I feel better about it, but I still won't feel great.
Right.
You know, whereas, like, you know, hitting, like, you know, code coverage with my testing is super easy. It's like, oh, there's, like, these, like, five classes I just need to test, you know?
Yeah.
That's super simple. Reorganizing a routes file is super simple and, like, an easy win, and I feel great afterwards.
Yep.
Getting into the controller methods is a little bit messier, potentially hairier, potentially harder to justify to people.
Yep.
JavaScript components breaking out, like, to me, that's going to have to happen at some point.
Yeah.
Assuming they keep demanding the amount of JavaScript work from us that they are.
Right.
Like, half, if not more, of this app is JavaScript.
Right.
So, there's a lot of JavaScript, and, like, we do have a couple of God objects in JavaScript that really need to get knocked into size.
Yep. Yeah, I have a thought on that, but... Real quick on the testing setup stuff, yeah. I think as a starting point, no matter what, I think you should rip apart all your setup and just put it explicitly in, like, one of your most popular tests, just to try it, just to see, like, what it would look like.
One of my most popular tests?
Yeah, I don't know, like, one of your biggest tests.
My tests don't have fans.
You know,
I love all my tests equally.
The test that gets command P'd the most, like the one that, you know. The, yeah.
It's going to be content access test.
That's the one. Yeah, content access test or source post. Fun with source post test.
It's the test that team posts returns the right thing after a bunch of setup.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Rip it all apart and then see what happens. I don't know. Start from there. I think that's a good practice to to just see, because I think sometimes the fear is more in my brain that it's going to be so big and nasty, and then when you actually put it out in like lines of code, it's not as bad. I don't know.
True.
Your JavaScript stuff, though, I'm curious because I don't work in JavaScript a ton right now. What do you guys do for testing your JavaScript?
So things that aren't UI elements, we're testing pretty well.
Okay, unit testing, like with
And I didn't write any of these tests, so okay. I am not testing any of this. But I believe Samantha tested at least a handful of these methods.
Okay. And do you know what they're tested with? Like what framework?
Yes, but I don't remember.
Okay.
It was whatever Facebook recommends.
Okay. I don't know.
I forget.
Jasmine?
It wasn't Jasmine.
Okay.
It was like, oh, it might have been Jest.
Ah.
Anyway.
Anyway. And then for the UI, do you guys do like Dusk tests or Selenium tests to test the UI?
We don't. So we just got this up to 5.4 recently. And we had no Dusk for a while. So we have Dusk now and I haven't written any Dusk tests. So that might be actually a useful use of my time would be to write some UI tests.
That might be. I think it's super great. I think a good place to start is like just write the most critical path through the app in Dusk.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, that would actually be good. So it's like have a source post, log in as a user, publish that source post as a team, go to the post's index view, click on that post, unpublish it again, set some tags, blah, you know.
Yep, exactly, right.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good bring value to this
thing.
I'm going
to put that on my list.
On the list.
Right. A good UI test for the golden path.
The golden path. Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah. Sweet.
All right. Cool. You got anything else?
I got nothing.
Cool. Well, this is fun. Thanks for helping me decide how I'm going to spend next week.
Yeah. This was fun. Anytime. Let me know how it goes. Good luck with the package.
Thanks. Matt is tearing it apart right now, so I'm going to go see what he... see what he hated.
Great. Yeah, I got my own pull request that Matt tore apart that I gotta go see.
Nice. I feel like we make Matt sound like a bad guy on here. He's not really a bad guy. He just likes to tear apart our code.
Yep.
Makes us better.
And by tear apart, there's only two comments because he's listening and he's gonna go, wait a minute.
He's like, guys, I feel like you misrepresented the amount that I tear apart your code.
Yep.
We love you, Matt. Thanks for checking our code.
Thank you, Matt.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See ya.
And a big shout out to Jared White for providing this music.